Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast. I'm Rex Nelson from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and really honored to have with us today one of our state's leaders in education, Dr. Michael Poor, the superintendent of the Little Rock School District. And we're going to talk public education, specifically the Little Rock School District, for the next 30 minutes or so. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, I've been excited ever since you shared that you were going to invite me, and to hear that your show is called the Southern Fried Podcast, that makes me even more into it, because that's my deal, is a little bit of fried chicken. So
yeah, it sounds like a food show, but it's really not. That's the name of my blog that I've had since 2009, which is, it's about everything, whatever I want to write about. That's the great thing about a blog, but that's what we named it then, so we did the podcast by the same name. So we can talk food if you want to. I figured we'd talk education first, but look, I'm always happy to talk food. I wanted to mention, of course, and most of our readers know this, they follow what's going on in the school district, but you're going to be retiring soon. What led to that decision? And I guess the important question is, why is now the right time for you?
Well, it really is me, probably more than anything, and my family as to the motivation. And I feel like I'm running towards something that I'm excited that I'm going towards. And that is I've got a grandbaby that's in South Carolina. I have a daughter, of course, there too, and then I've got a son that's in seminary school in Washington, D.C. I got another son that's in Phoenix. And so, going towards family right now is sounds like the right thing. I my kids probably don't need me, but I kind of want to be with them. And then I have my own parents who are still in good health. And, I talked to my dad this weekend about joining him in Southern California next year at this time and saying,
"Oh wow,
I'm going to be there for a month, Dad, not a week, a month. And I need you to help find a place." And it created a level of excitement for him that was unbelievable. I think the challenge to this, and maybe this is where your question is going to go, is that you think, well, Mike has lasted 6 years.
Yeah.
Now, last is...
Which is very unusual for the Little Rock School District, as you know, knowing its history of a long succession of superintendents.
Yeah, and I hate to use the word last, but that's how everybody equates it, is that, when you look at that, the last superintendent that exceeded the number of years that I've been a part of the school district was a superintendent that served basically from 61 to 71, which, boy, that'd have been an interesting guy to talk to, right? But I understand this churn. Before I arrived, there were 5 superintendents in 7 years. There were 24 and 30. And so the positive, though, is that we have built a foundation in the Little Rock School District right now that I think can make this job attractive. We have got a bond issue that passed.
Exactly, and I'm going to get into that. I wrote a column about it recently. Very exciting.
75% of the community supported this every precinct we won. That's something that superintendents look at when they look at a job to say, is the community going to be behind it? You've got the business community engaged in ways that it never has or it hasn't been in a long time with Ford NGL, and that is exciting. We have given our employees a raise, and we have it projected for another raise this coming year. So those type of things, there's a labor piece that's in existence right now. All those factors kind of make, I think, a future superintendent say, this could be a job that I could go and take it to another level. And so to me, there's also a pretty good timing right now to attract a good candidate as well.
All right. Let's back up 6 years. I say why I retire now. And I guess that leads to the inevitable question, why did you come here in the first place? I mean, people look at Northwest Arkansas, the tremendous boom, one of the fastest growing areas in America, the resources you had in Bentonville. I mean, we can go on and on about what is happening in that part of the country. You come to Little Rock at a time where the school district has been taken over by the state of Arkansas. What was your personal motivation in coming here?
I'm gonna tie first. I got to give a food story. A lot of people have heard this story, but how I got asked to be a part of Little Rock School District is Johnny Key called and said, "I'd like to take you to dinner." So I offered up a couple steak restaurants. He said no. I offered up 2 Italian restaurants. He said no. Mexican? No. So ultimately, I said, "Where do you want to go?" He said, "Cracker Barrel." So we end up at Cracker Barrel for dinner, and about 10 minutes into the conversation, I think I'm going to get to talk to him about career education.
Yeah.
I got ideas I want to share. But he said, I want to ask you about coming to Little Rock. And my first reaction was, you're courting me at a Cracker Barrel to come to Little Rock School District. But, you know, that quickly turned into the concept to say, you know, I've been paying attention, okay, mm-hmm. even in Bentonville, about what's going on in Little Rock. And I felt like maybe a part of it was I kept hearing my colleagues say, can't be done. Who would want that? And that actually attracted me. Now, my own family, boy, they got that. But there was a lot of other people said, why in the world? Because, you know, Bentonville, we were leading in basically every category, academics, fine arts, athletics.
Exactly.
We were winning everything. We were doing extremely well, building a school basically almost every other year, if not every year. So, you know, it the challenge of this was really enticing to me to come in. And it, you know, even when I first arrived, there was a challenge that people thought, well, I'm Jim Walton's nephew coming down from Bentonville, and I'm going to, you know, upend everything in public education. And I think that the target or the goal was, I'm going to make people have a buy-in to what we're doing, and I'm going to create a collaborative approach, and I'm going to try to unite people. And I really thank so many people for, you know, our community having a faith to say, well, hey, let's go give this bald head guy a shot. And I think we've done some good.
Yeah. There were so many challenges at that time, though. Talk a little bit about how you prioritized it. I mean, what was job one when you first got here, job two, job three, and so on?
Well, you know, again, the challenge is I could be standing next to someone that was a very much pro-charter person, and there would be pictures taken of me. And then I would go talk to a union person, and there'd be pictures taken of me. I mean, everybody was hypersensitive, and my thought was, I'm going to need everybody. So, you know, the initial entry plan was just to really reach out, and I used a process called appreciative inquiry. And I talk about this with all of our new principals, and it's a great business approach. If you go Google it, you'll find that businesses use this all the time, but school districts can too. And so when you come in new, you don't focus on the negative. And this is a really big point, I think, mm-hmm. especially for where we're going in Little Rock. Instead, you focus on what it is that we do well. Don't lose sight of that as the new guy. But then second, what is it that we aspire to be? Now, that's the magic. Because if you think about what we aspire to be, it you kind of eliminate all the thing like, well, what's messed up? If you ask what's messed up, they expect you to fix up their problems. Instead, focus on what we aspire to. And when we did that, that led to this whole thing of the business community with career ed. That led to an infusion in our athletics. Okay, I mean, I don't want to forget that. That
Absolutely.
Led to, you know, the work that we're doing in the academic environment to say, and I think we were a little slower, to be honest, on that, on the academic. We did not and have not made the ground we need to on literacy, but I think we finally are structured to do that well. But all those things happen by saying, what is it that we want as a community? And if I can be critical, in Little Rock, sometimes we want to continually bring up past difficulties, past challenges, instead of saying, let's unite by what we want for our preferred future. And to me, that's the winning mechanism, not just in education, but in business and in our college. You've been such a big advocate for, you know, what we need to do for UA Little Rock. That's a big deal.
But
if we just focus on saying, well, what's gone wrong so far, we'll never get out of the muck. We got to say, here's what our preferred future is.
One thing I know you've learned here in 6 years in Little Rock is how perception can color things. I travel the state a great deal in this job. I'll be in Murfreesboro speaking to the Chamber of Commerce banquet on Thursday night. I'll be in Texarkana on Friday, for instance. And, you know, you have these perceptions. Bad schools, crime in Little Rock. Look, I have lived here now almost 33 years straight this time around since coming home from Washington, D.C., and love living in Little Rock. But how do you, for lack of a better term, overcome those kind of knee-jerk perceptions that we find in dealing with the state's largest city?
You know, I heard that obviously when I came down and said, well, be careful, you know, watch what you're doing and make sure you know where you're going. And I kind of took the opposite approach and we started to walk in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We did that all the way up to COVID, you know, and it really kind of became the craziest thing. I never forced anybody to go, but people actually got behind it and excited. And we have sometimes a group of 25, 30 people. So I think that, you know, one of the ways to dispel it is just to go live. You know, we got to be in the community. We got to go be visible, and we don't need an armed guard to go with me anywhere. I think I just need to go out and be with people. And I hope that will be the focus of the next superintendent. We got to have that kind of leader, I think, to help dispel some of this. Now, the reality is though, that there is a higher level of crime, and we've had far too many young people die. And, you know, you think about that, and of course that kind of stuff keeps you up sometimes, keeps me up, of what do we got to do? And I think that the biggest thing is that we've got to have things that engage kids basically 18 hours of the day. Because if we don't have that level of engagement, and that can be athletics, that can be performing arts, that can be academics, that could even just be, you know, environments where they get to have social, but it's safe. If we don't have those things in place, then the element of people getting pulled into things that aren't healthy, that are potentially violent, that's going to be a reality. That's a reality in other urban environments, right, too. So we've got to do things in a different fashion of what it looks like. Okay, school's going to be 8 o'clock till 3 o'clock. What happens from 3 to 9? And if we can create intensity in that area, I think that's a winning recipe.
And it's kind of that necessity to do that, as you said, almost be a 24-hour institution, is it not? And I'm not just talking Arkansas, I'm talking the whole country, that sets urban districts apart from other districts.
It is different, and you know, the outlier, interestingly enough for me, was Bentonville. You know, that was a different setting for me. Mm-hmm. But I have been in an urban environment in the Denver area that was a little district called Sheridan, and my home district that I kind of grew up in Colorado Springs is District 11, and it very much resembles Little Rock. But you know, when you're in an urban environment, there are a lot of forces that can pull people. And sometimes those forces can be negative. So how do you overcome the negative forces and pulling people the wrong direction? I think we got to have just that much more intentionality of programming and support. And that's why, you know, I'm very proud of the fact that, like, I'll give an example of clinics. We've got health clinics now, mm-hmm, all over the district. That's, you know, we don't probably get recognition for that anymore, but that was a big deal. Let's talk about Fitz Hill, you know, and what we've done with 6th and Goal and the Athletic Foundation. That's a big deal, because when we have 6th and Goal going on, the connection with those mentoring coaches who are doing it all for free, or 6th and Spike for volleyball for girls, 6th and Spike for sixth and Pin for wrestling. When the kids are engaged, guess what? This is the honest to God's truth. We have no suspensions.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's that says a lot, doesn't it?
It really does.
And so, you know, I just think it has to be pushed out more. And that's kind of what's interesting. I think even the discussion going on at the city right now of, you know, they've created a state of emergency and they're listening to what programs. If I had a voice, that voice would be push engagement for young people. We don't need intervention. We need them to have positive things that they can go towards that's going to allow them to, you know, be a part of the things they're passionate about, that they have fun with, or just let them be together in a positive way.
We'll be back with more of the Southern Fried Podcast, but first, this break. Hi, Rex Nelson here. Thanks for listening so far. A lot of the topics we cover here on the Southern Fried Podcast and many more can be found on the pages of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. If you'd like to support this great newspaper's commitment to bringing you the latest in Arkansas news, sports, and entertainment, consider subscribing to the Democrat Gazette today. With your subscription, you'll get a digital edition of the newspaper every morning, along with the latest news and updates delivered to you on an iPad, provided at no extra cost. For just $34 a month, you'll get the same award-winning journalism you've come to expect from the Democrat Gazette, including my 3 weekly columns, plus exclusive photo galleries, videos, articles, and digital extras all in the palm of your hand. To sign up today, call 1-800-482-1121 or visit us online at arkansasonline.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Let's talk about you for a minute again, and then I will get back to the school district. You mentioned Colorado. How did you get into education? Was that something you knew early on in life, you wanted to be an educator?
No, I was all set up from when I was in elementary school to think I wanted to be a lawyer. So that was really where I was headed. And then at the end of my freshman year in college, I had two of my high school teachers that owned a youth camp, and it was west of Colorado Springs, and they invited me to go work there, and they said, you can be the athletic director of all of our sports programs. And I thought, wow, that's cool, I'll do that. And I got there and I found out that, to be honest with you, it was a bunch of rich kids that were there. They had no athletic skills. They were just there to go have fun.
And you were probably mowing fields and everything else. Athletic director, yeah. That title probably sounded better than the real job,
oh,
right?
It was definitely magnified in a way that wasn't a reality. So at least in my own head. And I got there. But what ended up happening is these kids would come in for 3 weeks. And as a part of that time of being there, I found out, man, I just love being around kids. And it changed my trajectory to say, well, guess what? I'm going to go, I know I want to coach. So let me just go ahead and get into the education biz. And that got me started in terms of being a teacher. I was a history teacher. And, I initially coached all three sports, mm-hmm. which, there's a real difference between Colorado sports and sports down here in the South.
Yeah.
A whole different level of seriousness down here. But there, I coached three sports. And ultimately, my biggest thing was being a head basketball coach.
Yeah.
A teacher.
Yeah. I knew that was part of your background is being a coach. When did the move into administration take place?
Interestingly enough, it was almost like what happened to me in Little Rock, that all these people saying, you can't, you won't, you, this isn't going to work, no one can do it. I had a school in Carter Springs that had an athletic director job open. And everyone told me, there's just no way, you're too young, they're not going to look at you, it's a mess, you don't want it. And guess what? That kind of motivated me, that challenge to say, okay, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
And same thing kind of happened then for when I got a principal job. And the same thing happened when I got my first superintendency. There was everybody saying, this isn't a good job. And I thought, I'm just going to go show them that we can go do this. And the interesting thing about that is I want to make sure I'm clear to your listeners that, hey, I'm nothing special. I'm the most average guy in the world. But what I think I do well is that I hope I bring people together and help bring out their own strengths, and also bring out some things that they really believe in. And that kind of goes back into that appreciative inquiry process that I was talking about, and I didn't really finish the answer, but appreciative inquiry basically gives two questions. One, what do we do well, and what do we want? Well, same thing happens, I think, when you do those things. It makes people share what they visualize or what they think can happen in the next 3 years. When you get that going and you get multiple people, all of a sudden you can connect them, and all of a sudden you get some great synergy.
Let's get back to the Little Rock School District then. You mentioned the bond issue that passed. It did so at the time, roughly when the city of Little Rock had one that went down. And a lot of people said, well, the school district's in trouble now. People are voting no. And as you said, it passed with about 75% of the vote. That not only had to make you feel good, and I think you alluded to this earlier, that had to send a message that people still believe in the Little Rock School District, or at least they're believing again in the Little Rock School District.
I do think it shows a faith and a trust, because trust is such a big word too. It's not just belief, it's trust, because I think that's been a problem within our city, specifically with the school district. So, it kind of showed that, hey, the things we've been doing for these 5 years, there's a trust level. And some of that was that we have been doing things even without an infusion of taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm.
So we built Southwest without an infusion.
Yeah, an absolute state-of-the-art facility.
We got Pinnacle View done. It changed a warehouse into one of the best middle schools. We got air conditioning in every gym, which in middle school, high school, which never been done. So, there was a trust that people were saying, I see that what they say, they actually are going to go do it. and they're going to do it well. And then having a board come back in place. I think that was another critical thing, having 9 people that were behind it. You don't always get all 9 board members. You can look at the city thing. Mm-hmm. They didn't have everybody behind it. We had all 9 board members saying they were behind it. We had a great team of folks that were on the bond committee, Tamika Edwards, Ryan Davis, Gary Smith. We had Mac Bell, that were all, you know, helping move this thing forward. And so those things, I think, led us to success, you know. And it's kind of weird because, you know, have so much history on campaigning and everything. Campaigning during COVID, you know, it's so different. You know, it's really about getting your message out through social media. And I think we did all those things pretty well, and that led to the success.
Yeah, absolutely it did. Now you have passed that bond issue, and that leads me into my next question. Those, of course, are going to lead to massive capital improvement, but more new construction. And that question's about restructuring. You've got a major restructuring going on now, closing certain schools, opening new schools. Give me an overview of what you're doing and why we need to do it at this time.
Yeah, we've called this right sizing and blueprint. Mm-hmm. We're calling it Blueprint 2.0 because we've had a version of change that's already taken place. And, you know, really, you look at this thing and we have a loss of the number of students that we're serving in Little Rock, period. This isn't just a Little Rock public school, mm-hmm. charter school, private mm-hmm. school. There are less kids to pick from, especially on the east end of this city. You know, the eastern part of our school district, we've lost a large number of people. I had a board member share kind of an interesting thing. He says, you know, if you look at it, we have several of our board zones that only have one school in it. There's other board zones that have 10 schools in it.
Wow.
Now, just think what that means.
I had no idea.
You know, what that really represents is that there are some places where bottom line, we have too many facilities. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we get compared to Springdale. And I probably am better served to talk about Bentonville, but either one of those districts that are Springdale's the largest, we're second, Bentonville's third. The number of campuses they have, Bentonville has 18,000 kids, Springdale has now 21, we're at 20. Well, if you look at how many campuses they have, we have almost double the number of campuses that those school districts do. Mm-hmm. Now, a part of that is they've gotten to build, they've had growth that's more recent, and that helps you. But it also doesn't mean that we have to make sure that we do this right in terms of managing our the money that's been entrusted to us. And then I know that kind of sounds heartless because then you say, well, what about the kids? Well, the kids, you know, if you're in a small school and you only have one teacher in a grade level, there is not the ability for that teacher to really collaborate with another professional. And really, we'd love to have 4 teachers per grade level. And then that allows the grouping of kids. It's not just about the teachers collaborating, but it's also about how kids can get grouped to get their specific needs and or strengths tackled or approached. So I'm probably getting too technical on this, but the bottom line is that, you know, our footprint does need to shrink because we have lost students. And we have to do that in a responsible way. And I've had people, Rex, say, well, why are you doing this right now? And even my own family says, Mike, what are you don't want to go through this again.
Having taken this on at the end, yeah.
But you know what? Right is right.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And if you're a leader, you have to do hard things sometimes too. And this is not easy on anybody, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not easy on my board. It's not easy on the people that are going to be impacted. I get that. But on the other end of this, we have to make the right decision for this overall district. And I'm telling you, if we don't do it, now you got a new superintendent coming in and they have to go face this like I did my first year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. not the honeymoon you want for that individual.
Yeah.
You know, we need to take care of business. And I know that sounds kind of cold-blooded, but we have to be real.
You mentioned earlier, you quickly mentioned the Ford Next Generation Learning Program, and I wanted to talk about that for a few minutes. I devoted a column to it recently because I think it's really exciting. And one of the exciting things is not only what it's going to do for students, but, you know, the Little Rock School District is only going to be as good as the business community wants it to be. You've got to have the support of the business community. I've always felt strongly about that. This is allowed you to partner with the business community. So tell me a little bit about what NGL is, how you've structured it, what you see of the future of that.
Well, first off, for the listeners that may not know, Ford NGL really started in Nashville as one of the hubs. And in Nashville, they had a 56% graduation rate. Now, 12 years later, they're at about 85%.
Wow.
Their average age of a gang member or people that were getting involved with the police was at, I think, 13 years of age. 13. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one part about this story is Little Rock, we're not as bad off as some other urban cities, but 13,
absolutely.
And now that average age member that's getting encounters with police and so forth is up to 22. So it's really transformed their system, and the business community has stayed engaged. I think that's a really another positive thing, is that it wasn't a hit or miss, you know, one and done, have a great lunch, and then everybody goes home and says, oh, that was a good lunch. No, this is an engagement over a period of time. And the four districts involved, we've gotten so much credit as superintendents say, wow, it's so cool you're coming together. But for us, this is kind of what we do. So having North Little Rock, Pulaski County, and Jacksonville and the Little Rock School District all working together, it just makes sense. But then, you know, for a business community, if you're out there and listening, you want to invest in this, because now you're not having to pick, really. You're getting to invest in this whole Central Academies of Arkansas, and the investment comes in so that you don't have to pick or choose. It comes in as a kind of a big thing that then can go help blanket. And then finally is that the biggest concept out of Ford NGL and the Central Academies of Arkansas is that it's not just the career class. What's even more impactful is to tie the four core classes, your social studies, your math, your science, your English class, tying that into whatever career pathway that is. You know, what that does is it creates more project-based learning. It excites a kid because they're going towards something that they have an interest in. And so you're uniting those core classes into the career approach. And that's really where we think the magic's going to happen. And that's where we believe Nashville's been successful.
Looking back on the past few years, if you had to list, and I know you are humble, but go back and list what you consider the three or four biggest accomplishments. What things are you most proud of in your Little Rock tenure?
I wish you'd given that one ahead. I'm really proud that, you know, it comes through in different ways. I do feel like we're united. Now, we have a phrase that we call the power of us. And what's a kind of I feel good about is that sometimes you have phrases that are tied to an organization and they don't stick. Now, everyone uses that phrase and believe in it. And it's the teacher union to the business community to parents, faith-based groups. I mean, people believe we have a power within us. And that creates endless possibilities. So I'm excited about that. Second thing that I would share is that I'm very excited about the things that we've done for our facilities and how that has just dramatically improved. Third would be, I'm very excited about our athletic program. I personally, of course, love that. And I've been involved in every head coach interview for football, basketball.
I love it.
And that's probably unusual in my team.
I started as a sports writer here, just like you started as a coach. So I know the importance of that.
You know the importance of it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm very proud. You know, you think about, we got a Brad Bolden and a Scotty Thurman at Parkview. We got a Brian Ross at Central. And,
yeah.
And, you know, you can just keep going on and on with Grow at Hall. There's people that are outstanding educators and coaches. I'm proud of the fact that we've done so many things that are supportive towards students and families that are challenged, so that there's a measure to support them if they run into a problem. Bright Futures is the best example. If a kid doesn't have something, we're going to figure it out in 24 hours and get that help to the family. We're doing that with Goodwill. We're doing it with the city. And guess what? We don't care what kid it is. Charter school, public school, private school, doesn't matter. We're going to figure it out. And I like that unity. And then the final thing that I would tell you that I'm proud of is that, I know I went past three, but the academic side of it is that we have the structures in place. You know, the results, let's just be honest, we have not had the results that show who all you can see this trajectory. But everything foundationally, if you go look at effective schools across the whole country, you would check every box and say Little Rock is doing exactly what's necessary in order to have achievement results. And, you know, the pandemic can be an excuse or a reality, whatever you want to look at it. But, you know, I think it at least stalled our progress in terms of an end result. But I think that that's right around the corner.
You know, I write about the whole state, and as I said, travel the whole state. But as I back out and try to take that 30,000 foot view of where we are, obviously Little Rock is only going to be as strong as the Little Rock School District. And Arkansas, frankly, is only going to be as strong as its capital city and its state's largest city is. And I've mentioned I've lived here almost 33 years straight this time around. And as I look at it, I mean, I see, you know, Amazon soon going to be employing 5,000 people in central Arkansas as we become a major distribution and logistics hub. I see us becoming a financial hub. The tremendous growth of Bank OZK, Simmons Bank, and others. I'm pretty bullish on Little Rock right now. Am I wrong to be?
No, and you know, the other thing is, like, I'm on the chamber meeting every month, and advanced manufacturing would be the third component that I would say is this. And then you already got a great banking, you know, kind of environment, mm-hmm. and medical system.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are five huge positives. And the unfortunate thing is, I don't think we talk about those enough. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate how you've done that. And I appreciate that. Well, I don't appreciate it. I'm going to tell people, we all need to understand to accentuate the positive more will really help when new people come in. That's mm-hmm. what they're looking for. They want to see us all pumped up about it. And we all need to be able to speak that, because these five major industry groupings, if you will, we can move this thing forward in a dramatic fashion over the next couple of years, because it's all in place. And I really think that the school system foundationally now is in place too. Kind of goes back to your earlier question, you know, why now a new person can come in and help elevate this district even beyond where I've been able to go with it.
Well, you know, and I'm going to speak personally here as a longtime resident of Little Rock. Mike, you have truly changed the district for the better, which is good for our kids, but it's, again, good for the whole city and good for the whole state. You've got people believing again in the Little Rock School District. So I just want to say thank you. Well done, sir.
Well, I thank you. And some of you don't know this, but I bother Rex a couple times, usually a month of something.
I love hearing from you.
of a column. And I just like how you speak the truth as you see it. And I hope people appreciate what you said about the district today. And we have something to be proud of. It's not perfect, not even close, but we are on a right track. We just have to have people stay engaged. And we, with the new person that comes in, we need to wrap our arms around he or she and be able to support them in a way that just lets them elevate and helps continue to bring everybody together. Because we have a real possibility to continue to move forward in an aggressive way in the school system, that, which will then support everything we're trying to do on the economic and business end of this city.
Thank you, and good luck to you going forward. Really have enjoyed this visit.
Thank you very much.
Mike Poor, superintendent of the Little Rock School District, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.